Hey guys, it's Leah B from Prestige Veteran Medical Consulting. I'm a U.S. Army veteran, physician assistant, and former compensation and pension examiner. Today, I want to come on and discuss atrial fibrillation, often referred to as AFib, and how it can be related to PTSD and other mental health conditions in our veteran population. So many veterans are service-connected for atrial fibrillation, many are seeking service-connected for atrial fibrillation, and also have PTSD. So let's start off by talking about what is atrial fibrillation. So atrial fibrillation is a condition, an electrical condition that affects the heart. So we can have mechanical conditions that affect the heart and electrical conditions. So think about a car, right? You have an electrical system and a mechanical system. Sometimes they can actually overlap, but atrial fibrillation for the most part is when your electrical system is not working properly and the impulses that go through your heart are misfiring. So the Mayo Clinic defines this specifically as an irregular and often very rapid heart rhythm. An irregular heart rhythm is called an arrhythmia, and atrial fibrillation can lead to blood clots in the heart. It can increase the risk of stroke, heart failure, and other heart-related complications. During atrial fibrillation, the heart's upper chambers, called the atria, beat chaotically and irregularly. They beat out of sync with the lower heart chambers, called the ventricles. For many people, AFib may have no symptoms, but AFib can cause fast pounding heartbeat, shortness of breath, and lightheadedness. So that's in a nutshell, that's some quick down and dirty details about what atrial fibrillation is, okay? So how can veterans be service connected for this, or how can it be related to service? So first of all, you need to have a current diagnosis, right? So you've got to have a current diagnosis of atrial fibrillation. And then there has to be some type of in-service event or incident or another disability that kind of leads to or is linked to that atrial fibrillation, right? That's called a nexus, right? There has to be a nexus between the in-service event or injury or illness and the atrial fibrillation to show that relationship, okay? So many veterans maybe were diagnosed on active duty and they have a primary or direct service connection for this. So if you serve for 20, 30 years, maybe even shorter amount of time and you developed atrial fibrillation, didn't have it prior to service, and developed it while on active duty and you still have it, you may be service connected for that, right? On a secondary basis, you can also develop it in relation to other disabilities, right? So some cardiac disabilities, you may have had, a heart attack and it's messing up some of the, you know, that's the mechanical side. It may be messing up how those electrical impulses are firing, right? Because there's some dysfunction in the heart. It could be related to sleep apnea. I think I've done a video on this in the past, and that's a really interesting one if you guys have an opportunity to check it out. And then lastly, I want to talk about how it can be related to PTSD or other mental health conditions. And that's kind of the basis of this video, right? So I have a couple articles. I always like to go over some articles for you guys so you can empower yourselves and look them up and share them with your treating provider and see if they can, you know, give you an assist with a statement in your medical records saying it may be related. Now, of course, other risk factors have to be ruled out, and it's a whole comprehensive picture, right? When we look at these types of things, okay? So the first article that I want to discuss is an article called Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and Risk of Early Incident Atrial Fibrillation, a Prospective Cohort Study of 1.1 Million Young Adults. Basically says that psychological stress has been seen to contribute to arrhythmia burden. That's a good one for you guys to look at. And it looks at a whole bunch of veterans, okay? Now, we also have an article called Role of Stress in Cardiac Arrhythmias that was published in the 2013 Journal of Atrial Fibrillation that discusses that stress is a major trigger for cardiac arrhythmias. The authors state that stress exerts profound effects on the electrophysiology of the cardiomyocytes and the cardiac rhythm. Psychological and physiological stressors impact the cardiovascular system through the autonomic nervous system. So it goes on and talks more about stress and how it can be related. So I challenge you, or I charge you guys, to go and take a look at those articles and empower yourself, right? So how is it rated? So I'm not an accredited claims agent, a VSO, or an attorney. I'm a medical professional. I used to be a CMP examiner, like I've mentioned before. So I kind of stay out of that whole strategy advising type thing. That's what you should do with your VSO or with your attorney. But a lot of times veterans want to talk about ratings and what things can be rated at. And so these things can be subject to change. But according to the 38 Code of Federal Regulations, ratings for cardiovascular systems, you can be rated at 30% for atrial fibrillation. If you have paroxysmal atrial atrial fibrillation or supraventricular tachycardia with more than 4 episodes a year. And those have to be documented by an ECG or a Holter monitor. And then you can be rated at 10% if you've got a persistent or permanent AFib or 1 to 4 episodes per year of what we discussed in the 30% level, right? So over 4 episodes a year documented on ECG or Holter monitor, that's that higher criteria. And then under 4 is going to be that lower criteria. So I hope this was helpful. I hope you guys check out that other atrial fibrillation video. Please drop some comments and let me know if you guys have any questions, and I will be happy to answer them. Please like and subscribe, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.